week's parsha is called Parshas Re'eh, which literally means see, because that's the words at the beginning. And this week's parsha, I call it the happy parsha. I call it the happy portion. Why? Because the verb or the adjectives or whatever words you want to use to describe happiness, that's another topic we're not going into now, is mentioned 7 times in this week's portion. That's a lot of times that you should be happy. The word happiness, happy, is mentioned 7 times in this week's portion. That's a lot. I'm not an expert, but I think it's probably the most in any of the portions. 7 times is a lot.
So you're talking about like the Breslov or dancing in the tippy toes.
Well, you can take it whichever way you mean, but there's very many different ones. So they are as follows. So we have at the beginning of the parasha, it talks about chapter 12, verse 7, that when it talks about you offer the sacrifices.
Verse 7, right?
Verse 7, you've got to offer the sacrifices in the temple. You can't offer sacrifices in your own house, which is why we don't have sacrifices today, because there's no temple. You have to offer sacrifices only in the temple.
What about like the kaparot?
Well, that's not a sacrifice.
Yeah. But is
you shecht meat here, it's not a sacrifice. You need
it. But it's okay to do it, to perform the kaparot? It's okay, right?
Well, there are some people who say that it's a minig that shouldn't be done, but most people do it, yes. When it first started, people were against it, like a lot of things in Judaism.
But
they start people...
No, the people don't do it anymore.
No, because there's no temple. As it says, you can only offer sacrifices in the temple, not in your
when
own
they country. They build
the temple
third
was in
temple,
Jerusalem. So the first one is when you go to the temple, you have your sacrifices, usmach them, and you should rejoice.
That's when the Mashiach comes.
Yes,
and
that's
the Mashiach
right.
Be able to do this great
we'll
sin, you know, bring the peace and build the temple.
We shall find out. I don't like getting too much into these things. People can get carried away. The Messiah and this and that. You know, we have to live in the moment. Yes, that's what we believe. And we hope it's going to come very soon. But like I was telling him, the Rambam says, don't go looking for dates and trying to find signs. You know, when Mashiach comes, he comes. But we have to live our lives here, you know. Sometimes people get carried away with all this sort of stuff, you know. So I was trying to tell Michael that I'm not a big, you know, yes, I believe and I'm excited and I, you know, but let's not get
prayer,
too...
Right?
Of course, we pray for it and we beg for it, yeah, that's not what I'm saying. I'm not saying we don't believe in it. Of course we believe in it, of course we pray for it, of course we want it. But we can't get too carried away. You know, when it comes, how it will be, when it will come, is something that we'll wait and see. But for the moment, we've got to keep doing what we need to do.
It has to be in the time of Elohim, you know.
We'll see when he's ready, you know. Don't get, you know, people get too carried away with that sort of thing, you know. We're Jew, we keep the Torah, we keep the Shabbat, we come around, you know. Don't get too carried away with all these, as I told Michael before.
Yes, but the redemption, redemption could be tipped over by a mitzvah.
Yeah, every mitzvah that you do brings the redemption closer, definitely.
One mitzvah can, like the same thing, like the opening the sea, there was one
guy who jumped in,
who went, and then his nose and his...
Right up to his neck, and then God split the water.
That's when Kakadosh Baruch Hu in the heaven says, "That's it." What's the kenem miga that when you have a risk of your life?
Right. So you do.
So that's
you
when
you give up your life for God. Yeah.
Right. That's when I said, "That's it. He's doing that, and we need to help the yet. You cannot have him die." So that's when.
Because you cannot have him die. Well, it was more than that. It was like, you know, God was going to do it anyway. He wanted to see you making the first move. He wanted to see the Jewish people prepared to give up their lives for what God said. Anyway, so we'll come back to this. So 7 times it mentions happiness. So first you take the sacrifices to Israel, you rejoice with everybody with your meat.
Oh, that's the second
cheer.
One?
That was the first one. The second one was the same thing. When you take the Levi, because the Levi didn't work, and the Kohen, the priest, and the Levites, they didn't work because they were busy studying in the temple. Learning, so you had to feed them, give them money, you had to sacrifice, give the Levites, you had the special tithes and everything you gave. Oh, smash them, you rejoice, give them happy, you know, have a nice good feast, come here, food, plenty of table, come round, you rejoice.
Yes, which verse is that? The second one?
Well, you can go through chapter them yourself and you can see, but again, chapter 12, verse 12 is another one. Then we have again in verse 18, V'somach tol lifnei Hashem aleikecho, you should rejoice in front of Hashem your God, b'choy mishlach yedecho, with all the good things that He has given you. That was 3 times. And then we have...
We're still on chapter 12, right?
And then we have, again, with the Pasha, at the end of the Pasha, we have, V'somachto Bechagecho, you should be happy on your festivals. Wow, now in chapter 16, and then it says Vayiso Ach Sameach, you must be nothing but happy on the festival of Sukkot. That's
which
five.
Verse?
These are verses 14, Vesamachta Bechagecho, and the other one is verse 17. And then again it says, Vesamachta Halevi Hashem B'Shevecho Lo Yisazvenu, you should be happy. It mentions many times, seven times. Be happy.
Happiness, right?
Happiness. So we can see, as I think it's fair to say, that a lot of people in the wider world think that Judaism is a sad religion, yeah, an oppressive religion.
There's so many things
you cannot do, so many things that you can't do. It's restrictive, it's difficult. Well, difficult it is, but
I think Islam got to be.
You mean fasting for a month? Huh?
Yeah.
But there is a perception that Judaism is not a fun religion, you know. It's not a fun religion, you know. Can't go out partying on a Saturday night or Friday night.
The
discos and the clubs. And, you know.
It means a lot of sacrifice, you know.
That's what people think, that it's a sad, oppressive, you know. That's what people think. Let's not pretend that's what people think.
It's shalom, shalom.
Who?
It's the Judaism is shalom, shalom.
Perfect peace.
Perfect peace, right. Perfect peace. Okay, well, but still, people think that it's a sad, difficult religion. I remember, I think I mentioned this here before, I used to teach religious studies teachers, non-Jewish teachers, how they would teach Judaism in their non-Jewish schools to their religious students, because they didn't have this separation of church and state. So they used to teach religion, and when it came up to the Jewish topics. Yeah, so I would teach them how to teach.
They're still like that?
Yeah. So they're in the schools, they learn all the religions and everything about all the religions. So this one teacher came up to me and said, I was teaching them about Jewish kosher dietary laws, and people were saying, oh, these Jews, they can't eat anything. This is terrible, horrible. What they've got to eat? They can't eat this, can't eat that, they can't eat this, they've got to do this, got to do that, can't eat blood, got to. So he said, what did he do? He said he went to, this wasn't in the Jewish area, so he took a trip, half an hour's drive to a Jewish bakery, bought a big, huge gâteau, big, nice, juicy cake gâteau, you know. Cream, seven layers, you know, the works. The school were paying for it. And he wore it into class for the next religious studies lesson. And everyone was enjoying this class. You know, cream all over their mouths, stuck all over their hair. And he goes, did you enjoy that cake? And they all thought, nice treat, this is great, this is fantastic. He goes, well, this is a kosher cake. So he said, see, you can be kosher and have good fun and enjoy it and have some good food. You know? So that made an impression upon me. You know, this was a non-Jewish teacher, and he wanted to show the people that he can have fun. So this week's portion, seven times it talks about being happy. Seven times, be happy. Be happy with him, be happy with him, be happy in yourself. That it is so much about being happy. The Mesilas Yesharim, the Path of the Just, one of the most famous Jewish instruction books, as you would call it, Musar books, on how to live life, how to view Judaism, as opposed to halachic works or Talmud or whatever, you know. Thought, or what you would call it, you know, Jewish theology.
You say Laha?
Huh? Laha? Path of the Just.
Path of the Just.
That's the name of the book, Mesilat Yesharim, written by a rabbi called Reb Moshe Chaim Lutzer, who lived in Italy. He died in the 1500s, I think.
I think Italy or Spain?
No, Italy. Okay. In the 1600s, somewhere around there. I've been to his grave, actually. In Israel, died at 40 years old. But in those days, people died young.
So he was
he would write plays for the opera. He was opera.
Was he a Kabbalist?
Yeah, must have been, I suppose, yeah.
Usually a Kabbalist is like that. You cannot get too much into it, because you get too much, you correct all the umidots.
Well, we're, okay.
You know what I mean?
I like to keep away from these sort of things, you know. You always try and push them in to the shiur, but I like to, you know, stay clear, you know, don't get too dragged into to Kabbalah here. So he wrote many. He lived for 40 years old, but he wrote like 40 books. He was he's known by his name, by the first letter of each name makes an acronym, the Ramchal. Reb Moshe Chaim Lutzer, Resh Mem Ches Lamed in Hebrew is Ramchal. That's how he's known, the Ramchal. He wrote over 40 books. So he wrote in his opening stanza, his opening paragraph, he writes, the whole point of this world, Yesod HaChasidut V'Shoresh HaAvodah, the famous words, the foundation of service to God, the foundation of Chasidut, piety, And the root to all service of God is to know, understand, and internalize. So you think, oh, this is the root to everything. This is how to serve God, how to be pious. You would have thought, now we're going to hear, pray the whole time. Learn, study the Torah 24/7. No, not what it says. It says to know that the whole point of life is lehanot miziv shchina ulisaneg lehanot miziv lehisaneg al Hashem, which literally translates as to rejoice, become intoxicated with God. Olahonos miziv shechino, and to take benefit from the glory of his shechina. Be happy, that's his first thing, is to be happy with God.
What does that mean, shechina?
Well, we're not going into that now, that's beyond the course of this, but it refers to like God's presence that he puts in this world.
He says the female side of it.
Well, okay, right. There's many ways of understanding it, and but that's the basic way that it's like his shine, his presence, his one of the ways of understanding it, this is my idea. You know, they say God is everywhere. God is in everything. Everything is a part of God. His energy, his life force, is the whole world is God's life force. God's. So you know, like every cell, in everything has made up of cells, nucleus, protons, neutrons, electrons, all that stuff, right?
We're talking more about the 10 sephirot over here.
Well, I don't want to get. I always like to keep away from all this sort of stuff. I like to keep it more. Simple. But you know, the idea that these cells, everything has like an energy. God's energy is everywhere. Anyway, we don't want to get too... I always try to keep away from that. We could be here all night. Very complicated. I want to keep away from
it. Explaining,
We'll keep to this. So, he is trying to tell you that the most important thing is you've got to enjoy yourself. I'm not talking about enjoying yourself by going to the clubs or by eating things that you shouldn't be eating or by doing things that you shouldn't be doing. That's not what he means. Just fun for the sake of having fun. That's not what he means. It's fun by doing what you should do. Mm-hmm. Keeping Shabbat. Not with a long face. Shabbat again, can't go out, not going to the car.
Happy that you...
No.
Be rejoiced.
Ah, Shabbat, I don't need to work. No answering the telephone. Ah, relax. Eating kosher food. Right.
Well, that does it during the week also.
What?
That's 24/7 eating kosher.
Yeah, eating kosher, of course, 24/7. But all the things, we're going to shul, we'll get an opportunity to pray. I feel so privileged, so loved, so thankful. This week's we have the famous words.
He said, also we get the chance to actually have the prayers of the poor.
The prayers of the poor, what about
them? Yeah, I think the prayers of the poor on Shabbat.
What do you mean, on Shabbat?
Basically, like the people who are in Gehinnom,
they come out.
Once they are on Shabbat, once they enter Shabbat,
they come out.
They have a chance to enjoy of the Kedushah.
Right. Yeah.
Until Shabbat is over. So at that time, that's what he says, that you have to be extremely careful as a Jew to break the Shabbat in any way, shape, or form. Because what happens is, if as soon as you break the Shabbat, you break the enjoyment of this. Of these people who are in Gehenna, and they come back and try to do bad things on their end to us.
So we have the famous words. This is chapter 14.
Zohar, I'm sorry.
Okay. Chapter 14, verse 1. The famous happy words. Bonim at chapter 14, verse 1. Bonim atem Hashem Elokeichem. You are children to Hashem, your God. So it's a very inspiring verse. You are God's children. Remember it. Think it. And also, you've missed it, but we've been building up over the last few weeks how we talked about God is telling you that you should be grateful for everything I've given you. He goes through all the great things, the manna falling from heaven, the wells of water outside their tents. So God is trying to tell you, you must be happy. Not just any happiness. Happiness with me. Happiness with me as God. Happiness with the Torah and the mitzvot. In the same way as when a couple are very, very much in love. They're very happy. What are they happy about? Not necessarily what they're doing out, going out every night, whatever they're doing, going for a meal here, going for a meal there, going on a date, going this. That's not what makes them happy. They are happy in themselves because they are in love together. The fact that they're in love, and whatever that means, again, we don't want to go into that now. The fact that they're in love, that's what makes them happy. Even if they're just sitting at home, sitting around the table here, not necessarily doing anything fun, not going out dancing, going to a date, going bowling, going to the movie theater. That's not what. But they're happy in themselves. They're happy with the other people. They're contented. They're feeling good. They're happy in themselves. You ask them why they're happy, you can't really explain it. I'm happy. I mean,
it's a little kid whose birth is coming up, and he's looking forward to opening his gifts.
Right.
All year round, you know, it's something like this.
Well, I'm trying to say a little bit differently. There he's excited because he knows he's getting presents. He's getting something.
Yeah,
I'm trying to say differently. I'm trying to say not happy because you're getting something, not happy because I'm doing something that I enjoy. I'm driving my bus, and I love driving my bus.
Oh, yeah.
You know, that's why I'm happy. Or I'm happy because I'm going to watch a great film. Or I'm happy because I'm going to Disney World, and that makes me happy. That's happy because you're doing something happy. That's not what you would call real internal happiness. After 2 minutes, it's gone. Once you've been on the roller coaster, that roller coaster was great. Okay, now let's go again. You know, you want that thrill, you want that rush, the adrenaline, that's what makes you happy. I'm talking about something different. I'm saying it's the happiness, the natural happiness. You're with somebody, whatever it is, that's the best way I can explain it, when you're in a relationship, or parents and children, you know. Parents love the children, they're happy with it, and they're happy being with their children, they're just happy being with them, even not doing anything necessarily, you know, even if they're not doing these amazing great things, we're just sitting around, lounging around here. I'm sitting on the sofa here, and he's sitting on the sofa here, he's on his iPad, and he's on his computer, and the other person's on the telephone, but the fact is we're a family, we're a unit, we're happy. So that is the idea, how we should be happy with God. We are his children, he is our father, we are our children, we've got to do what he wants us to do. There should be a happiness there. There should be a special type of happiness. Again, it comes many times. Happy, be happy, make other people happy. What does that mean? Make other people happy, take them to Disney World the whole time. It doesn't mean that. That's not what it means.
So you
get
the bill.
There is sometimes on the Breslov that they say like that, even if you, there is nothing to be happy about, to just make the action of you being happy.
Well, that because right. So that's a later thing, because this is where
basically experimenting the reasons why.
No, what they're doing is something different.
The reasons,
because nowadays the way the world is, it's very hard to be happy. A lot of people are depressed. A lot of people are sad. It's very difficult the way the world is.
Well, that's negative stuff too, you know.
Well, that's the way a lot of people are.
When you transfer those negative thought to a positive thought, then you have the result, positive result.
Right, you talk like a psychiatrist. Yeah, so that's what they're trying to do.
It's the energy, you know.
Right.
We're living in the energy war. Whatever you think, is what you're going to get.
Right.
If you have negative thought and negative mind, that's going to be the end result.
Well, that's true. Definitely, you can think yourself happy. You can think yourself into a good mood. There's no question about it. Yeah.
Even though if you're having a hard time, but you set your mind for a positive result.
Yes, power of positive thinking. Very important.
Yeah.
But what I'm saying,
it's
for
like
example,
the faith moves mountains. You know, if you believe it, you know.
Now, when you are, let's say, for example, anything that if you're listening to music, a certain kind of music that makes you happy and positive, or you start singing an igunim, or start singing some kind of religious song, like Toda Alecha Hashem, you know, thank you very much for everything that you give me, and like this, you know, like it will trigger you for you to be happy.
Yeah.
And even if there is no reason for you to be happy, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will find
there's
a reason
always
for
a reason
to,
that you should be happy.
You know, he will find a reason to put
the happiness should be within. It should be the natural state of happiness.
Yeah.
But because it's so difficult, that's why in Breslov their movement is to do things that make you happy. I'm not talking about going to Disney World every day, but you know, do things, dancing, singing. These are things that make people happy. Dancing, singing, and enjoying yourself. You know, that's why Shabbat we have meals, you know, nice. Because that's what makes people happy. You know, you've got to do things that make you happy. I read in the book by Rabbi Yitzwein, I mentioned this here before, the rabbi from Las Vegas that I met at the wedding this time last year. It was actually like the 10th of August was the wedding, so it's just the anniversary. Yeah. So I met him. He wrote a book called 7 Ways to a Happier You. And he said, the natural state of every person is to be happy. How did he prove it? He said, you take a little baby, 3, 4, 6 months old, 8 months old. They're happy. If they start crying, people will say, ooh, why is he crying? Is he too hot? Is he too cold? Is his diaper dirty? Is he need winding? Is he hungry? What's going on? Why? Maybe he's crying because people cry. People want to cry because they want to cry. No, because the natural state is he should be happy. If he's not happy, something's wrong. You know, we don't say, oh, he's crying. That's normal. He's happy. Why is he happy? Is he good? Is he full? Does he not? Is his diaper good? We don't say that. Sometimes we do it the other way around. But as we get older,
we don't worry about it when he's happy.
He can be battering for negative.
Yes, but we don't say too, you know? When a baby is crying, you say, oh, he's crying. Yeah, because people cry and they're upset and that's normal. It's normal. No, but we always try and find and stop
sometimes
it.
Sometimes can be negative force, you know, causing that.
Pardon?
The negative force, you know.
I see you're a big believer in this negative and positive force. That's I believe in it too. Positive thinking is so crucial because you can change, the brain is so powerful. I agree with you that your brain, the positive, that's why, like we were saying with the president, that they make the singing and the dancing, because if you...
For no reason, just for no reason. You just start doing it.
Right.
And it, the action, as you say, will trigger
the positive and the energy the becomes positive.
Will trigger the reasons and then as a result...
I see you're a big believer in it. That's your big...
Exactly.
I'm a big believer in it too, that... it's something that, you know, people only feel a bit down if they would somehow do something happiness, it could change their moods. Definitely. I'm a big believer in that too.
You start with a dream, right? And then you dream. And then you close your eyes and then you picture it. And then when you open your eyes, you work for it to get that dream come true.
As long as it's a realistic dream. But yes, I agree.
Everything is possible. It's God with us.
That's true.
If God willing,
but that doesn't mean you should set yourself unrealistic goals. You know, yes, things are achievable and attainable, and don't get me wrong, and people, the world have had a great advantage from people who decided not to believe people who told them they couldn't do it. People have become millionaires by people who said they couldn't do it.
But when you put barriers, then you don't get it.
That's true. You've got to keep going. You know? You've got to believe it's possible.
You've got to open the case and see the possibility, you know? Because what is impossible for you, for God is possible.
That's true. That is true.
For Him, it's nothing impossible.
That's right.
And if you're with Him, nothing is impossible. Mm.
But there's still a balance between possible, achievable, attainable, and what is totally unrealistic, right? You know, like for instance, you're American citizens, you could become the president of America. No, are you an American citizen?
Yeah, yeah.
You were born in this country?
I didn't.
No. Oh, right, so you can't be the president. Okay, because I can't be the president either. I could be the prime minister of England. Right, you're right. So, as you say, it's perfectly possible for him. He's born in this country. He can become the president of America if he went about. So, you know, go and launch his career. That is something that's unlikely, let's be honest.
For us.
But it is achievable. It is possible. Well, it's impossible for you because you were born in Peru.
Yeah, absolutely.
But for him, it is achievable and it's possible. And if he went after it and he was, you know...
I'm sure
he
would.
But even though if you can be a person of the United States, you can have a different position and do...
I was just using that as an example. I'm saying, you know, so that is achievable, you know. Mm-hmm. That he can be, you know, you can say, you want to be a president? Go for it, you know, keep it and whatever. But there are certain things that are not possible.
There are restrictions, for...
So there still has to be...
Yeah, I'm happy because you have...
In your heart.
I'm happy because I have in my heart God.
That's right. Well, let God in, and He fills up your heart and you become happy. Because God is happiness. God is positivity. That's definitely true. Because there is... You have a siddur here.
Perhaps we'll
finish off with this. There is... My rabbi explained like this. People ask, it doesn't matter because it has the Pirkei Avot. People ask, why is there so much sadness in the world?
You want Pirkei
Avot? I've got it in here. You sure?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, I remember in July 4th, I go Disney.
In where?
In
July 4th.
July 4th.
Right.
Disney World.
Oh, Disney World.
With my family. My family, this is moment of happiness.
This was, they were happy?
No happy.
Oh, no, why, too hot?
My sister.
Much money they spend.
Yes, my sister, a lot of people here, my niece is crying. What happened? I'm here in Disney. No, everybody not happy.
All right, so even when you do things like that, it doesn't mean you're going to be happy.
Even if you have money, yeah. Sometimes money doesn't bring you happiness.
No?
It's come within.
Definitely.
Yeah, there's people millionaires. There's people who have a lot of money, but they feel empty inside,
I was depressed for two years after my divorce because my wife left me. And I was praying to Hashem constantly, and I kind of got an answer in my brain. I said, you're going to depend on a person to make you happy. Then when I started living again, mm-hmm. and I started smelling the roses, like they say, slow down and smell the roses, and I started riding my bike in the Everglades, and I noticed the creation of Hashem. Mm-hmm. I became super happy.
You're enjoying it, yeah.
Just, I said, wow, all this stuff I missed when I was married, I was so preoccupied trying to make her happy, and she wasn't happy.
You want to do it. In the
and then after that, 2 years, she's trying to come back to me. And I said, I'm happy now, honey. Yeah, but this...
You see a lot of people who have a lot of money, and you see them empty from inside,
Because happiness is not what you have.
Everything, you see.
That's what we're trying to say. It's inside, not what you have.
These people live in the castle, they drive a Lamborghini, Not everybody can drive a Lamborghini, but they got big companies, and then you see them, close.
Inside, and you hear these people who commit suicide and things. Yes,
exactly.
But there are very wealthy people who are happy. It's all about inside.
Elohim is missing.
There was
It
was a reality. It was. They had their own TV show up in Merritt Island about 2 months ago. One of the daughters committed suicide. Wow. Up in Florida, there were like four or five. They had their own show. Four or five of them were a comedy show or something.
Oh, you're talking about that?
About 2 months ago, up in Merritt Island.
The father of the family that became gay, he actually did a...
Oh, no, I'm not talking about... No, there was a... No, not the Kardashians, a different family. And the girl committed suicide because she couldn't... They had some like comedy show. They were all in a family comedy show.
Oh, you're talking about where the Jewish?
No.
Thank God.
But even
because I was that guy from Kiss.
What's his name? Christian and Jewish. Sure. What's happening in the United States and the reason people are so depressed because it's gone up exponentially. And it's good to have money. Money is a blessing because you see these parents and they drive Mercedes. They drive nothing about God. They become atheistic.
We said that last week, that the more complacent people have, that's what the Torah was talking.
That's why the country is going down. Because but in the first, this was found in the religion.
Judeo-Christian. They call it Judeo-Christian.
You see this now,
Because there was a strong faith. But like the pilgrims.
In God we trust. Yeah. So it was fountain, and the religion taught,
You hollow out a country from any belief in any God, and the kids start killing themselves. They said, well, you have everything. You have education, you have a university.
That's a good point, because if you look at the South Americans and the Caribbean people, they have very little. They're very, very happy. That's what in general, obviously, I'm not talking about individual, but you look in the South Americans that I see, in the Caribbean, they have very little, whatever, and they all seem to be happy, on the whole.
The constant component in Latin countries, whether they be, generally, it's Catholic or Christian.
They have a lot of...
They live in the same... They believe
like Brazil. Right? Very Christian and Catholic country. But when they had the World Cup there, people are living in these shanty towns, as they call them, in these little huts, in these little villages. What did they had a name for these villages.
The hills.
These names for these villages. And I remember the World Cup. And these people were laughing and joking. They seemed to be so happy. They have nothing. They had nothing.
Yeah. Also,
the kids were playing football in the street, but yet they were on top of the world.
And the converse, when a lot of people come here from South America, and we made it the promised land, and 6 months later they're miserable, and they say, "Why?"
Because it's not what they used to.
Because now I don't see my family anymore. I don't go to church anymore. Work. The wife leaves them. The kid starts using drugs. They got a big house they can't pay for.
Africans as well.
Yeah.
You look in Africa. Whenever I see them, they're all smiling and laughing and joking.
They
don't have very much. Third world countries.
Better than their own country. Yeah.
They should have stayed home. Because when you come here to live a rat race life,
There's no life.
You're going to end up dead.
Well, let me finish this for the official part of the Shia. I'll just say two things. Number one, my rabbi, I remember somebody came who wasn't married and said, Rabbi, I'm not happy, but when I'm married, when I get married, I'll be happy. He said, no, you won't. He says, because then you'll find something else. Oh, no, no, no. He said, you can still be happy now, because being saying I'm going to be happy when I'm married is meaning that you're depending your happiness on something. If you say, I can still be happy now, because happiness, yes, there are things that upset me. Just because one person or somebody is happy, right, doesn't mean one person can't be upset. We talked about this for mourning over the temple. Mourning is not sad. Mourning and being sad is not depression. You can still be a little bit happy in who you are, but we're sad that we're missing this. When somebody dies, it's sadness. You miss them. It's mourning. So there are different levels. You know, it doesn't mean you can't be sad. You can't be upset about certain things. It doesn't mean everything's perfect. You know, we're not saying that. But happiness allows you to be able to ride these things and say, yeah, this thing is upsetting. This thing is difficult. This thing is a little bit sad. But that doesn't mean that's my overall perception. We've talked about that. It's too late and too much to talk a lot about that now. But I'm going to finish with this. So my rabbi said this. People say, why God is the happy God? God is the amazing God of peace, God of love, God of everything. Why is this world appearing so sad, so difficult, so violent, so problematic? It seems very strange that God created such a horrible, strange, violent, problematic world. So he quoted the Mishnah in Pirkei Avot and the ethics from the fathers that people say on the Saturday afternoon in the summer. Rabbi Eliezer HaKapor Omer, Rabbi Eliezer the Kapor says, Hakino, which is jealousy, people being jealous of each other, Vahatava, lust, lusting after various things, women or possessions or whatever it is, they're lusting after it, Vahakovod, and the desire for honor. Everybody wants to feel good, for honor. You've got to give me honor. I've got to feel my worth, my self-worth. You know, yeah, don't insult me. Don't. Who do you think you are? The desire for honor, motzi'in esa odom min ha'olam, drives a man from this world. So the way most people understand it is that's what kills people. First of all, they commit sins by lusting, and that's sins, and therefore you commit sins, and God says, well, I'm going to punish you and kill you. But if you translate it literally, motzi'in means brings out. What do we make the bracha on the bread? What's the bracha we make on bread?
Hamotzi.
Hamotzi. What does that mean? Who brings out the bread from the so if we translate it literally, motzi'in es ha'adam min olam, brings out a man from the world. So he said, brings out. So these desires and envy that people have for each other, and the desire to fulfill, to have honor, the drive to be honored and to do things that give you honor and glory, remove a person from the world. So he answered like this. He said, God created a wonderful world, a happy world, a good world, but you're not in the world. Why are you not in the world? Because, I'm not talking about you personally, I wasn't saying that. You're not in the world. Why? Because, okay, let's talk in people general. People are not in the world that God created because you have jealousy from one another. Mm. You have desires and lusts for things that you shouldn't have, that you don't need.
We got our heart and the material sins.
Right, yeah. Right.
You know, and then you can be worship to gods.
The material,
the money, and yeah, because we're
so
the
when
money,
it says on there in God we trust, is that the God of
here,
money?
If your, listen, if your money is here, then in your heart is taking that space of money.
Right, so
and
you
then
are
how you
money.
Gonna bring God?
When there's
to
money,
that space, you know,
right? Because it's all about the pursuit of money.
We're chipping to God.
So because most people they either go after their own honor and their own glory and their desires and their lusts and their fulfillment of materialistic pleasure, they're removed from the world. They're not in God's world. God created a wonderful, happy, caring, non-violent world, but people are not in that world. You know. Look at people who started wars. Everybody wants to my honor. Hitler wants to own the whole world. You know, I want to be the king of the whole world. That's his honor. So he's not in this world. God said, that's not my world. You're in your own little world. You are literally in your own little world that you think you could, you know.
That was an evil
you know, if people,
feelings, you know.
There is something to be said for a simple life. I used to give, haven't done it here for a long time, but as a synagogue rabbi, I used to give a lot of eulogies.
We talk
for people
about
who passed away.
Hitler, you know, he was carrying demons. He carried demons inside, you know,
okay,
for all that he's done in the past, you know.
That's, yep. So I used to give eulogies. And I used to quote from Tehillim, which talks about a simple man. Simple man who does not speak evil about his friend. Who is a simple man who doesn't speak evil, doesn't lend money with interest, doesn't slander his friend. There's a few things that are simple. And I usually say to people that being simple, when people say, oh, he's a simple fellow, as we would say simple, it in Hebrew, Yiddish, a posher to Yid, people take that as an insult. People say, oh, you think I'm simple? I live a simple life. People take it as an insult. But there is something to be said about living the simple life. That doesn't mean if you live the simple life that you can't be rich, because a lot of people are rich. And a lot of people have money and companies. But it's the people who overcomplicate their lives. God wants some people to run multi-million pound companies. That's what happens. You need to have people who are in politics. And you need to have people... That's not what I mean when I say the simple life is to sit in your own home and do nothing. That's not what I mean. The simple life is don't overcomplicate your own life. Doesn't mean when people think simple, you think of the fellow who's sitting on the street that nobody talks to. That's not what it means. Simple man, somebody who hasn't slandered his friend, somebody who doesn't lend money in interest. That's how the Psalms, King David said, was a simple man. Jacob, the famous Jacob. We have the 12 sons. He was the greatest of the patriarchs. How was he referred to?
He fought against the angel.
That's right. What was his nickname? You know what his nickname was?
Zolik.
What was he known by? Yaakov Ish?
Israel.
Yaakov Ish Tom. The Pasuk says Yaakov was a simple man. You're telling me Yaakov was a simple man? He had 12 children. He fought with all these great people. He was the greatest of the patriarchs. Saw Pharaoh, Joseph. You know, he brought down to... He was one of the greatest people that ever lived. And the Torah describes him as a simple man. So when I say simple, I don't mean like people think simple. You're living in
humble.
Well, it's more than humble. Humble is different. It says Moshe was humble, but it doesn't say Moshe was simple. What do you mean simple? At Tom, you know, you don't overcomplicate your own life. You know, what's mine is mine. I could be a millionaire. I could be in charge of 50 companies. I could be the president of the United States. But I can still be simple. Don't slander my friends. I don't have to slag everybody off. I don't have to say horrible things to you. I don't have to make you feel bad to make me feel good. I don't have to stamp on you. I don't have to lend money in interest. I don't know. You know, keep straight. Keep your own life simple and straight. When people, as you said, you know, they start veering off and then so God said, well, I'm sorry, you're going into your own little world. I take no responsibility for that. You're ending up getting burnt. And and when people do their own things, politicians, let's use that example, once they start taking bribes or they start, then their life loses. You know, the ones is what? Who's going to get me? Who's going to get me? Oh, he's going to get me? Kill him, right? Or we'll silence him, pay him more money. Oh, no, he found out. You start the whole web of deceit. People who have affairs, the same thing. Oh, no, I don't want my wife to find out. And then, oh, I'm going to tell you what, I'm going to blackmail you. You know, the whole thing starts, and you murder the wife, or you murder the woman, or whatever you do. There it goes. All spirals out because you left the simple path. God said, well, you know, why did you go and do this? Why did you go and do that? You know, all these celebrities, you know, they get caught, they get snapped by the paparazzi doing something they shouldn't be doing. And then that blows up, the scandal is over the news, and then other... But if you led the simple life, I'm not trying to judge anybody, because we shouldn't judge people. I'm just trying to talk, you know, leaving the judging aside. I'm just trying to show you how it works, you know. And that's when their lives start going away, because they left the simple path, and now they have to be worried. Who's going to find out? Who's going to catch me? Who's going to catch me? Is he going to find out my secret? You know, and I can't look you in the face now, because if he... Because you've left a simple path. You know, you've deviated away from the way the world God made. You went after your own lusts and your own honor and everything. And now you have all these worries, all these nerves, everything else, you know. And how many times do you hear? I remember as a young kid, I once heard somebody who was caught, was found to be... he murdered somebody like 4 or 5 years they were caught. And he said, it's a weight off my shoulders. You know, counting the guilt and waiting. Are the police going to catch me? Is that the police at the door? And I remember he said, it's a weight off my... I'm thinking, this guy's going to jail. He's spending the rest of his life in jail, right? What sort of life does he have now? Until now, he could do what he wanted, when he wanted, how he wanted. But yet, in his mind, he was always nervous. Are they going to catch me? When are they going to catch me? How are they going to catch me? And when they caught him, I remember as a little kid, the guy said, it's a relief. It's a weight. And I'm thinking, he's going to jail. He's the end of his life. But in his mind, at least if he's in jail, so... He's back to the simple life again. All right, he can't do what he won't go, but he's back to the straight and narrow. But when he's one, you know, is he going to find it? He's going to find it. Oh, did he find it? You know, the whole intrigue and the whole web of lies and deceit because you went off the path. You know, there could be no web of lies and deceit if you just stay on the same path. You know, so that's what he says here. God's world is wonderful, it's fantastic, it's happy, it's great. But you've not lived in his world. As you say, you know, you've put money, you've put glory, you've put honor, you've put lust. You've pushed it all in. So therefore, you've pushed God out. This comes in, God goes out. As you say, there's no room for both.
Yeah.
If you Which is why, as we're coming up to Yom Kippur, there is Teshuvah in the world, repentance. But that's for another time. How that was created before the world. But even repentance, which is something that we'll talk about later, it doesn't necessarily change sometimes, you know, how, you know, just because somebody gets, you know, you forgive somebody, doesn't mean that, you know, the idea of the nerves and the, you know, and whatever still doesn't apply. You know, you can forgive somebody for doing something, for lying. You lied to me, so I'll forgive you. Okay, but yet, this, you know, the whole web can still happen. So just because one is forgiven, it doesn't mean all the consequences are gone. Which is, you know, somebody says, I murdered him, so I'm going to forgive you for murder. Yeah. All right, but the fact is the guy's still dead. So what it means, we'll talk about it, we've discussed it sometime, you know, we'll, but some, you know, you can't undo the consequences in this world. This world, once something is done, it's done. God can take responsibility and divorce you from this responsibility and not punish you for it, that's different. But once, this is the world of action, once something is done, it's done. You stay on the straight and narrow, the simple life. Doesn't mean you don't do anything, you never go anywhere, you don't, you know, that's not what I mean. You stay on the straight and narrow, follow the straight path, you know.
That's the Elohim deal.
Right, then you'll be in God's world. And in God's world, there's happiness. And in God's world, it's a good world, it's happy. There's no wars, there's no nothing. That's why when Moshiach comes, it will go back to God's world, because God will remove all these other things from it, and it will be back to normal. It's not going to be... Okay, we're not going to go into all this debate now. He's sleeping. But it's not going to be a whole new thing. It's just going to be the way it should be. We're going to remove all lust and remove all trace of glory. And of course there's going to be no wars. There's going to be no fighting.
Go back into the Garden of Eden.
Right, because that's the way it should be. Everything else is just...
That's the right way to get into that.
That's the simple way that life should be. We're polluted with everything else. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the past, you know, when somebody did... do something wrong to you, you know, in the past, it was a lot eye for eye. If you did something to me...
That's the Muslim way of doing it. I'm going to stop you right there.
Exactly.
That the Talmud says eye for an eye is the value of an eye. It doesn't mean you hit somebody's eye, you take out your eye. That's not what it means. Because
exactly.
It says, the word afterwards says, Kein yinot kasher osa, like he did, Kein yinosen lo. Which is a very strange word, because in Hebrew, yinasei means give. What I did to you, you give to me. So
that's,
the Talmud says,
wrong,
what
yeah.
do you give to people? Giving is something that is given. Given is money.
So
money
if
is
you
given.
Me right over
you
here,
pay the value
then you
of.
Turn over here and
no,
me
that's,
right
not,
over
that's
here.
No, that's not what it means. It means if you hit somebody and cause him pain or damage, whatever it is, you have to pay him. Monetary value, not eye for an eye, literally. That's not what it means.
Money?
Yeah, it means money. You have to pay. You hurt somebody, you cause somebody damage, you pay him. Doesn't mean you go and damage him. You damage my car, I'll go damage your car. That's not what it means. That is the Muslim way, it seems, of way of doing it. Because but that is definite, and I must stop you straight there. That is, must know, it means monetary value, money. And we're not going into all the Talmud of it now, but that is... Anyway, I see that we don't want to overstay our welcome, as we say. That's why we don't want to stay too late.
Who said that?
The Talmud in Baba Metzia, in Baba Metzia. It talks about the fact that it means money. That's what I said, because it says afterwards, so you should give to him, not so he does what you do to him, he does to you. No, what you do to him, you should give. Which means money. You give money, not give the same sort of punishment.
You say that?
The Talmud. Well, the giving is actually written in the Bible, where it says eye for an eye and all that stuff. It says afterwards, Kasher Osa in Pasha's Emo. What he did, so. Let me find it for you. Yeah, have a go.
Oh, very good.
You go, Rabbi.
Thank you very much. Let me just find this for you. Pashas Emor. Right, here.
Thank you for your time.
Right, so it tells him, if a man inflicts a wound in his fellow, as he did, so shall be done to him. Right?
Leviticus.
Right, then it talks about a break for a break, eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. Just as he would inflicted a wound upon him, so shall be inflicted upon him. So after all the eye for an eye, there shall be inflicted upon him. But if you translate it literally, it says, Kasha yite mum ba'adam, just like I put a blemish in somebody, Cain, so yinosen, it should be given to him. That's a literal translation, natan. You heard the Hebrew natan, to give. Natan is to give. Matana is a present. What? You heard of the word matana is a present. Natan is to give. So therefore you natan, so you give to him. What do you give to him? So the Talmud says, only give. What's this expression of give? If I punch you and you punch me back, that's not giving. I punch you, I'll punch you back. No, I give you the value of a punch.
Of the damage.
That's what it means. So so they learn it out already from here. That here, look, read here.
Okay.
Here, the sages expounded that these penalties are to be understood as monetary payment for the damages. For example, a singer with a mangled finger would lose little of his value, but a pianist who loses a considerable part of his value if he lost the use of his hand, because he's somebody who plays with his hand, he's got no hand, so you cost him his livelihood. So it talks about paying, but no, it does not mean literally an eye for an eye.
Exactly.
That's a big, whoa, what about, eye for an eye!
And what about the person who get hit in the face and torn the other face to instead of giving it back, you know, all right, you punch me.
Well, you have to take him to Beth Din and he'll pay you.
Exactly.
Like you sue him. That's where it comes from. You sue him. The first original case of suing him. You know.
Many Jewish attorneys.
Yeah. Well, because they're used to the Talmud, you see. The Talmud is very, I wouldn't say argumentative is the wrong word, but it's very complex and, you know, very.
It comes down the result of love, you know. Love resolves any issue, you know.
Still the Talmud said, just because you love somebody and forgive somebody, very nice. As we talked about here, because you've forgiven somebody, doesn't mean the consequences don't apply. See, you know, you can forgive you until you're blue in the face, but he still should pay you.
You know,
you can give him the money straight back if you want to. That's your business.
In New York.
But even if you say, I forgive you for the pain you caused me, but he still has to pay you. Beth Din can still oblige him to pay for the value. And if there were cases where people are put to death, whatever the cases are, very, very rare, but you say, I forgive him, Beth Din said, well, I'm sorry, you forgive him. Very nice, good. Well, I'm very pleased. You know, you forgive him, very nice. But I'm sorry, he's still got to, you know. So forgiveness doesn't mean the consequences are not there.
Right.
We'll talk about that. In this world is a world of action. Actions have consequences.
See, up and north, if your brother's in your house, this is like,
you can shoot him.
And he goes outside in the snow and falls down, and he starts snowing, you're responsible, even if it's your brother. And now he said, who's going to pay my bills? Now, if you're reasonable, the owner of the home, even though he says, sue me, this has happened a lot, sue me because you're my brother, because that's the only way the insurance is going to pay you.
Right.
So that happened. He sued his own brother. So when he got the money and the doctors looked at him and he got okay, he gave his brother half the money from the lawsuit. He said, thank you. And everything was paid.
Well, it wasn't his money. It was his insurance.
But he told his brother, sue me.
Yeah,
and then his brother was nice enough to say, look, I lost work, but I'm going to lose everything. Here's whatever, $5,000, $10,000.
But it's important to know that forgiveness
he sued him, but he
is very important, and I encourage it.
Because if you don't forgive your
fellow, then God might not forgive you.
He's going to forgive you, you know?
God says, well, why should I forgive you when you're not going to forgive somebody else? Yes, definitely, yes.
See how many.
Yeah. Let me just say, Alamicha Baruch Atah Adonai, Lehenim Melech Olam Alamicha, V'Kalkala V'Tanu V'Sasol, V'Eschem Noto V'Chava, Shosiv V'Chanto L'Avetinu L'Chom Piriyah, V'Yisbom V'Tibar, V'Chim Adonai, Lehenim Sol Amelech, V'Yisol 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 Amelech,
V'Yisol
Amelech, V'Yisol Amelech, V'Yisol Amelech, V'Yisol Amelech, V'Yisol Amelech, V'Yisol Amelech, V'Yisol Amelech, V'Yisol Amelech, V'Yisol Amelech, V'Yisol Amelech, V'Yisol Amelech, V'Yisol Amelech, V'Yisol Amelech,
V'Yisol
Amelech, V'Yisol Amelech, V'Yisol Amelech, V'Yisol Amelech, V'Yisol Amelech, V'Yisol
Amelech, V'Yisol Amelech, V'Yisol Amelech, V'Yisol
Amelech, V'Yisol Amelech, V'Yisol Amelech, V'Yisol Amelech, V'Yisol
Amelech, V'Yisol Amelech, V'Yisol Amelech, V'Yisol Amelech, V'Yisol Amelech, V'Yisol Amelech, V'Yisol Amelech, V'Yisol Amelech, V'Yisol Amelech, V'Yisol Amelech, V'Yisol Amelech, V'Yisol Amelech, V'Yisol Amelech, V'Yisol Amelech, V'Yisol Amelech, V'Yisol Amelech, V'Yisol Amelech, V'Yisol Amelech, V'Yisol Amelech, V'Yisol Amelech, V'Yisol Amelech, V'Yisol Amelech, V'Yisol Amelech, V'Yisol Amelech, V'Yisol Amelech, V'Yisol Amelech, V'Yisol Amelech, V'Yisol Amelech, V'Yisol Amelech, V'Yisol Amelech, V'Yisol Amelech, V'Yisol Amelech, V'Yisol Amelech, V'Yisol Amelech,